Hi, it's Karen Webster for payments.com, and I'm here today with Stephanie Poland, who is VP of Client Portfolio Management for Vanniv. Stephanie, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Karen.
So we're here to talk a little bit about the insights from the latest Vanniv OmniCommerce tracker, which we are about to publish. And I was taken by how so much of the news and trends that we tracked this month was really focused on loyalty, and in particular, really trying to address the question of whether or not loyalty programs really work. What's your view?
It's definitely a complex environment now for loyalty, and we are in an environment where consumers expect to have a loyalty offering from either their financial institution or for the merchant where they shop. But at the same point in time, there are so many people offering these programs that consumers are becoming numb to them. So I think that the answer to that is really loyalty programs are going to be worth the effort that you're going to put into them. You know, our environment is at a really unique point in time with the convergence of loyalty solutions and technology that gives us a great opportunity to test what consumers really want to see. And I think for each individual merchant, that really depends on the demographics of the people that shop there. But it's really an exciting time to be able to try and test new things.
I agree with you that I think, you know, loyalty has become this blunt instrument that is used as a one-size-fits-all sort of thing. Not entirely across the board. Obviously, some retailers have really honed in on identifying those customers that are special and treat them a little differently. But is it that technology is making that task easier today, or is there more of a recognition that the expectations of consumers really are that they want to be treated differently because they perceive that they're good customers as well?
Yeah, I think that activity is very largely consumer-driven. So our expectations just continue to increase as we see different merchants come out with offers that are more and more attractive and experiences that are more and more personalized. But the ability for a merchant to actually execute on that effectively and to deliver a solid customer experience is largely tied to their ability to understand the data about who their customer is. You know, the technology and the way in which that personalization is delivered, there's lots of interesting options there. But it all really starts with the data and the intelligence about who it is that is frequenting your shop.
So is it really just as simple as that? Or are there other things that retailers really need to be aware of in order to execute against a strategy that data informs?
So when I think about data, it's so multidimensional, right? So it's not just the data about what that consumer has done in your store, but it's the data about the demographics associated with that consumer, which would give indications on whether or not they are very mobile, on their wealth, on things that are more about they are an individual and less about the specific purchases perhaps that they've made at your store. So I think when you think about what that personalization means, it has to be very relevant to that merchant experience, but also has to understand that that is a person who has choice and who is also frequenting other merchants for whom you want to acquire that loyalty as well.
Mm-hmm. Are there examples that pop into your mind as to, you know, who is delivering some of the best practices on that score?
Thinking about it, you know, my consumer perspective, I have a number of retailers that deliver personalized experiences and, you know, varying degrees of effectiveness. You know, Sephora, I think, is one that's been called out in a number of publications as well about their ability to deliver a customized experience based on my past buying history. So I, that's one that I definitely would hold up. And I think that when I think about the bigger retailers, they're all at various levels of complexity. I think one of the interesting opportunities in this space is going to be the tools that enable some of the smaller merchants as well. So I kind of expect that a national brand name like a Macy's is going to deliver me a very solid loyalty experience. But I shop perhaps at a locally owned store, and I want to generate more business there as well. So I think the convergence of this technology and data, as we're testing more and more, is going to have an application across a much wider base of merchants. It's going to make it a better experience for our customers.
I would agree with you. And I think back to myself as a consumer and what makes me loyal to a brand. You know, it isn't always because I'm getting an incentive in the form of a discount or points that makes me loyal. It's merchandise selection, it's availability, it's convenience, it's, you know, a differentiated product. And, you know, I think we sometimes think in terms of data informing program design that deliver points and incentive, but data can also inform other things about merchandising and product selection that are probably just as important in securing a consumer's loyalty.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's definitely a trend towards more services, right, that create that positive experience. And that could be faster turnaround times for shipping. That could be, you know, the ability to split your bill. It could be any number of services and less about the product. And I think that will definitely be a trend as we move forward as well, is not just the delivery, but how can we provide a more holistic loyalty experience?
The one thing I wanted to ask you about is the Coalition Loyalty Scheme that was launched not long ago by American Express. Plenty is the name. I know you're familiar with it. You know, Coalition Loyalty programs have been very popular outside of the U.S., but a little bit of an anomaly here. What's your take on Coalition Loyalty Schemes?
It's interesting that it's finally making it to the United States. And I think that a lot of that is the result of, you know, our earlier conversation, that this is driven from consumers. So when I start to think about the emergence of this, as well as other loyalty programs, they're really much more consumer directed, as opposed to coming directly from the merchant or the financial institution. These merchants are banding together to say, you know, our brands can be stronger united to generate business amongst this very select peer group. And I think that's a really interesting trend that benefits consumers. Those types of coalition marketing experiences should increase loyalty for the partners that are included in there. But again, the services still have to be great from that merchant, right? So it's great to have points that I can earn at Macy's and redeem at Rite Aid in that program. But we definitely have to be able to understand that, is Rite Aid where I shop, or do I shop at CVS, and am I going to change behavior as a result of that coalition marketing? So I think that becomes much more complex whenever you try to evaluate the effectiveness of a coalition. If you just think about how complex it is to evaluate the effectiveness of a program, let alone at a coalition level where you're talking about multiple merchants considering behavior, that complexity of understanding effectiveness is really ratchets up.
No, I think that's a good point. It's almost like the value of a coalition comes down to the individual brands that are a part of it, and whether or not the collection of brands in that coalition is appealing to enough consumers want to buy in. It's early days. It'll be interesting to see how that does. A couple other things that come to mind. You know, this expectation that consumers have that merchants kind of follow the breadcrumbs that they drop across multiple channels that they are using to shop and to buy. How much pressure does that put on the retailer to change the way they're thinking about just the basic design and administration of loyalty programs?
I think that puts a tremendous amount of pressure on a retailer to think about it that way. You know, oftentimes their organizations aren't even structured around that experience. So, for example, you might have a component of that retailer's business that is responsible for the online channel versus the component of the business that's responsible just for straight retail in the stores. That philosophy has to come together at the very top of a retailer's organization to be able to say, this is the experience we deliver when a person is here physically. How does that translate to all of the various touch points that that consumer might be in our entire value chain, whether it's online, whether it's mobile, whatever that environment is? I mean, there's a ton of coordination within an individual retailer to pull that together. And then you consider as well that they have a number of providers in each of those value streams. And the orchestration across that is very complex.
The reason I asked that question is one of the things that I found very interesting recently was this experiment that the Esprit Holding Group is implementing to try to stimulate omni-channel cooperation across its various franchisees, and they're trying to make the franchisees feel as though accommodating an omni-channel customer doesn't hurt their physical bricks and mortar business. And so they're actually offering a financial incentive on sales that come through the online channel, regardless of whether or not they had anything to do with it, provided that a customer of theirs enrolled in their loyalty program. I thought that was very, very clever. Have you seen things like that or heard of things like that within the sphere of clients that you're talking to?
Yes, that really is an interesting concept, very innovative for them to think about rewarding that type of behavior. It will be interesting to see from a maturity perspective if more retailers adopt that. You know, without the precision and all of this integration that we all hope that we'll get to, in lieu of that, I think you're going to have to do those kinds of things in order to break down the barriers between your online and your offline interactions. So I'm not seeing a ton of that. We're having a lot of those kinds of conversations to say, how do I incent the behavior internally, right? So even, you know, in that organization, how do I not jeopardize the goals that I put on the retail side of the business by benefiting the goals that I put on the online side of the business? So it's very far-reaching when you start talking about crossing loyalty.
It's certainly an interesting time, and I think the obvious point here is that mobile has just accelerated the conversations internally about the need to embrace omni-commerce strategies and to execute them. As with everything, the devil's in the details.
Certainly.
Well, listen, Stephanie, thank you very much for joining me today. It was great to get your perspective. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.